is a paralytic. He can't move. He can't do anything. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't say, Lord, have mercy. He didn't say anything. He just said, see in their faith. Okay? And that's what, you know, God's looking at us as a people of faith, and seeing our faith, he's saying, you're mine. You're mine. Everybody's like, well, what do I got to do to believe? What do I got to do to be saved? Have faith. He is who he says he is. And by them bringing them, just bringing the man to him, they heard Jesus was there. And just by that act of going towards Jesus, that showed what? Faith. Why else would you go to see Jesus? Why else? He's just another dude, then nobody's going to go see him. You know, but they knew he was God in the flesh. Amen? They knew that. And that brings us to our sermon today, where we're talking, and the title of this is Living for God. Now, growing up in a Baptist church and growing up as a child of a preacher and a grandchild of a preacher, man, I kind of grew up in the church. My uncle was a preacher. Everybody was a preacher except me. I was a bad boy. And I ran around and got spankings. But I remember the worst spanking I probably ever got in my life. I was sitting on the end of a row in the First Baptist Church in Royston, Georgia. I was about maybe five. Your little one's how old? How's your little boy? Eight. Who we got five? Okay, I was about your age. Yeah, see how your little head's popping up? Well, that's all they could see. And I was sitting on the front row right here, and my daddy was preaching. And my little head would go down. And I would scoot across the front row, and I'd pop back up over here. And I would scoot back over here, and I'd pop back up. And then I'd get bored, and I'd scoot over there. And my dad's sitting there preaching, and every now and then he'd look at me like this. And I'm like, ha ha, you're preaching. You can't do nothing. You can't touch me. You can't do anything to me. And then I realized, uh-oh, sermon's over. Time to run. Yeah, when I got home, I got to go pick out my own switch. Some of you younger generation don't appreciate that, but you get to go out to a bush, and you pick your own switch out, because you're gonna get your whipping. But back when I was growing up, living for God was, what have you done? What have you done lately? Anybody know that song? Remember that song? I don't know who sings it. What have you done for me lately? And we kind of think this is what God is expecting. But God's sitting up there on his throne, high and mighty, and he's looking down. What have you done for me lately, Garrett? You haven't done anything last week. You didn't do anything for me. You need to do something. And so we get busy doing things. And if you're not careful, we get busy getting busy, and we're not doing it really for the Lord. We're getting busy to say we're busy, and we're getting busy to look holy and look righteous, and none of it, we're hating every minute of it. You know? So what is living for God? When you think about it, what is living for God? Yeah, well, how are you doing his will? No, by believing in him. It says, anybody wants to do the will of God, believe in me and you will be doing the will of God. John 6:40. Those who believe in me are in the will of God. Well, wow, I can do that. Okay, I can do that every day. You know, because God has created in me a new creation, given me a new mind and a new heart. We talk about grace and walking in grace. Grace wants you to realizes you want to love him more. Not less. When you understand the grace of God and how much he's forgiven you and how much he's done for you, not just forgiven for you, but done for you, then you start going, wow, wow, he is my good father. He is my true father. He's the one that's for me, not against me, because I've had a lot of fathers out there against me. I saw it somewhere one time, said the only man in your life that will be happy for you when you're successful is your own father, if you're more successful than him. Because everybody else is competing against you and trying to bring you down and bury you where they can be one up. And so living for God is just staying free. in him. And Paul's going to understand, kind of explain this to us. He's going to say, I had to die to myself. You know, I had to die to live. And we used to ask this question down at camp in El Salvador. How many people you guys want to go? How many of you kids want to go to heaven? Guess what? Everybody raises their hand. Everybody wants to go to heaven. And then the next question we ask them, how many of you want to die? Everybody puts their hands down. I'm like, well, you have to die to go to heaven. Oh, yeah, that's right. And so we're not, but we're going to take it to the next level. It's just not, it's not dying physically. It's dying to what does Chuck want to do? What's Chuck's world look like? And everything revolves around Chuck versus what's God, where's God leading me? Okay? And we use words like surrender and all that, and we've talked about that. We never fully surrender. And we talk about we give our life to God. Well, it's actually the opposite. He gave our life for us. Okay, so we talk about, well, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Well, how about you just believe in him, and then he will give you a new heart, and he will put you on a new way. He will establish your goings. He will put you on that rock. Because none of us like to stand on shifted sand. How many people like to be blown by the wind? How many people like to wake up to a different world every day? I don't. I want to wake up knowing something's consistent in my life, right? I don't want to wake up thinking, oh my God, the world's falling apart. The sky's falling. My sand has shifted. You know, I got to get more sand or something, or I got to do something. I want to wake up to know that my Father loves me no matter what. That message is not preached. Your Father only loves you if. That's Old Testament. Go through the Old Testament and look up how many times it says, if my people will pray and humble themselves, what will I do? I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins. If. Now move to the New Testament. God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. That's a big difference. Was there two different gods? No. It's just a new covenant. It's just Jesus said, you couldn't do it. Every time I said, if you do this, what do people do? Go out and made golden calves and had orgies. That's basically what they did. Yeah, worshipped other gods, fell for other gods, went their own way. You know, and God says, how long am I going to put up with you people? He says, you know what? My own arm is going to bring righteousness. My own arm is going to bring salvation. A prophecy in Isaiah about Jesus Christ, his right arm. He is the branch of righteousness that came and tore the veil from top to bottom. Now we enter in. How? Through our faith. Amen? We're living for God. We're fighting to stay free while we're living for God. Because while you're living for God, somebody's going to put something on you, try to put something on you. And it's called a religious item or a religious trinket or something, to the point where we're going to all start walking around with hats with the little phylacteries on there. You know what those are for? Those are for putting Bible verses in. And you stuff the Bible verses in there. And the bigger your philosophy, the more holy you are. Until it gets ridiculous where you're walking around with this big hat, with this big philosophy, and this like nice little robe. Don't touch me. I'm holy. You cannot sit with me. I'm holy. Go to the back. And then we become very religious and very judgmental and very, you know, well, if you were like me. So the fight is real, guys. So are we living for God or are we living for ourselves? Who are we living for? And I used to tell my park ranger students, when you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you think about? What I'm going to wear today? Okay. What's the second thing you think about? What I'm going to have for breakfast, maybe? Okay. What's the third thing you think about? Where I'm going to go today? What car I'm going to drive, where, you know, who I'm going to talk to. I said, yeah, what's that got in common? Me. We love some me, don't we? Now I'm talking to the choir here. Look here. I love some me. It's called coffee with milk every morning. Boy, I love some me. I like to get that. And I like that makes Chuck happy, right? And so we got to think about this for a minute. Okay, am I living just for me or am I living for God? And how does that look? Is it just doing good things? Is that living for God? Or is it more of a heart position? It's a position of the heart. Because if you're not living for God, you don't, guess what? You don't have a new heart. If you do not believe that He is who He says He is, and you don't believe in that, and you don't have faith in that, then you do not have a new heart. You cannot trust your heart. As a believer, though, God says, delight yourself in me. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Whoa, how does that happen? Well, you got a new heart now. So you can actually go along. And that's the way God speaks to us, guys. You ever say, how does God speak to me? Well, I know He speaks through His Word. Okay, so we got to read. You want knowledge? I was we had a graduation ceremony yesterday at the college. And this guy came in, and boy, was he impressive. He had his little hat, like different looking thing than we had, and his long stripes and stuff on. And boy, when they started reading his qualifications, PhD from Oxford, a doctor of scientific research study for the United States Air Force. Air Force Academy, taught at the Air Force Academy. I mean, and just the list just went on and on and on and on who this guy was. Now remember, he got up there and he told the kids, he says, knowledge is power. I'm like, you're correct. But you didn't finish that statement. Knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning. If you don't have knowledge of the Lord, and I want to tell every one of those people graduating yesterday, if you don't have knowledge of the Lord, you are going up a stream with a paddle, without a paddle, upstream. Does that make sense? Yeah, upstream without a paddle. That's going to be very difficult. I said, I want so bad just to jump up and say, finish this sentence, Dr. So-and-so. Because you can take your doctor and whatever you got, and 50 cents won't buy you a cup of coffee, a Black Rifle, or Starbucks, whatever your choice is. But I want to say, finish the sentence, knowledge of who. And I love Oakley and Christy, you guys are raising your family in the Lord. I love that. Because you're giving them the advantage. You're giving them success for life. They will be successful. God says they are like a tree planted by the river. When the winds come and everything comes against them, they're going to stand and they're going to grow stronger because we're in the Word. We're grounded in the Word. And if you're not grounded in the Word, you're going to fade away. So we got to fight, guys, to stay free. And we're living for the Lord when we're believing in Him. So what does Paul say? We're going to finish Galatians chapter 2. I hope. Well, Paul says in 2:19, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. You remember the law is out there, 613 commandments. We think about the Big Ten. Everybody knows the Big Ten, even though most of us can't even recall the Big Ten. You're going to add 603 to that? Whoo, that's a lot. I better get to work. I better be careful what I do every day and who I talk to and how I talk to them and what I wear and what I eat. There's a lot of stuff in there. But he says, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. So in other words, if you're still trying to do it on your own and trying to be good of your own, you ain't going to make it. You're not living for God. You're living for God when you've put away all the, I got to do this, I got to do that. Now I'm living for God because of His love for me and the grace He has shown me. And I'm just responding to that. How many of you ladies in here, if your husband or your wife or someone started yelling at you all day, they just yelled at you all day long. You don't do anything right. You never do anything. Everything you do, you're all you. How many of you guys would feel good going to bed at night with that dude? I don't want nothing to do with this dude. Right? Because he's been just beating on you all day. And then, but if you got a husband or wife that's been nice to you and treated you nicely, well, yeah, I respond to that. So that's how we are with the Lord when we realize how good He's been to us. He hasn't been beating on us. He's been good to us, and we go, wow, I can respond to that. Remember what leads us to repentance. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not as, I'm going to get you, boy. Saw what you did last night. Think, yeah, you think you can get away with that? Wrath of God's going to fall on you, bro. Be careful. And now you're running around like this. Oh, my God, God's going to get me. You know, I know I did something bad, and He's going to get me. I just know He's going to get me. That's the way we think. And God says, no. The I'm going to get you, I already put it on my Son, Jesus. He's going to get you. All you got to do is believe in Him, and He's going to get you. And when He gets you, He's going to love on you. Because He created you in His image. He saved you. He gave you everything you need. Well, I don't have any peace. Well, have you looked at His grace? Well, I'm just anxious all the time. Well, have you looked at His grace? Have you seen how much He loves you? You don't have to perform. And Paul's saying, you know, I'm living for God now because I've got this big, heavy thing off my chest. I've got this big load off of me now because I used to carry the law around and I used to watch everybody. It's the Sabbath day. How many steps did you take today? Literally, they could take like 60 steps. And you had to calculate them too because I got to go to the bathroom. Okay, how many steps is that going to take me? 1, 2. Ooh, I'm out of steps. Oh, man, what do I do now? And so literally, that's the oppression that was on these people. And so now he is saying, I had to die to live. And he says, and I love this one, I have been crucified with Christ. Think about this. If you are a believer, you have been crucified with Christ. Well, I never went to the cross. Well, that's good news, isn't it? That we didn't have to go. What if every one of us had to go to the cross on our own? There's no forgiveness unless you do exactly what Jesus did. Oh, I got to go, what? Not only got to go to the cross, you got to go to the cross naked and get a crown of thorns in your head, and the Roman soldiers are going to mock you and spit on you and make fun of you, and everybody's going to laugh at you. Yeah, look at him hanging on a tree. Cursed is anyone that's hanging on a tree. Aren't we glad he did what we couldn't do? He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Where's the temple in that, guys? Do we got to go to the temple to find Christ now? No, we are the temple. We are the temple. It says, Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by how? Faith in the Son of God. Who loved me. Did you check that? And gave himself for me. Now that's a good God. He loved me and gave himself for me. So now I'm not living for myself anymore. And I don't feel like I need to. I don't feel like God's requiring anything of me. I can actually rest. You remember on the boat when they're all asleep? And they're, well, he was asleep and they're all up thinking we're going to die. And they're trying to, you know, where's the anchor? Where's the extra oars? Where's the buckets? Get the water out. What are we going to do? We're dying. And Jesus is asleep. I'm like, you know, if they'd had a little faith, they would just all went to sleep too. You think Jesus is going to let the boat go down with you in it? In your life, do you think he's going to let you be destroyed when he is with you? No, he's going to bring you out of whatever you're in. He's going to bring you through whatever storm you're battling. We're like, Jesus is in the boat, right? Yes. You believe? He's in your boat. He's in your corner. He's in your car. He's in your truck. He's in your house. You know, back when I was a young believer, I used to think we needed to go to pray over houses and pray over places and pray over. We don't need to do that, guys. We are bringing the Holy Spirit wherever we go. Demons must flee. See ya. My territory. Everywhere I walk, this is Christ's territory. Fear nothing. Be happy. Move forward. That's what God's telling us. He said, he loved me and gave his life for me. And he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And you remember we talked last Sunday and the past few Sundays about how we were never under the law anyway as Gentiles. But he's talking to the Jewish audience here and he's trying to say, listen, Christ has come. There's a new sheriff in town. Okay? You guys are still trying to say, yeah, we got to be circumcised. And yeah, we can't eat with these sinners and we got to eat certain foods and we can't eat other foods and we got to do certain things. And Jesus is coming along saying, everything I've made is good. You can eat whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. You can do whatever, you know, you're in me now. Wow. We know Christ didn't die for nothing, so therefore grace and by faith is the answer. Amen. Well, we got a problem here because the law still stands. Well, what does Jesus say? Jesus says himself, do not think that I came to abolish the law. Huh? We're still under the law? Well, let's read. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away. Has heaven and earth passed away yet? Nope. We're still here. Not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. Well, whoa, we got a problem here. And I think next slide I put it, I said, Houston, we have a problem. Jesus said not one jot nor one tittle. I love the King James Version, jot and tittles. A jot would be a period and a tittle is like a comma. Nothing's going to be taken away from the law until everything's fulfilled, everything's accomplished. So what's the problem here? Well, we can keep striving to be righteous under the law, or we can believe and have faith in Jesus and actually be righteous. Which one would you rather do? So yeah, the law still stands, but we're not under it. Jesus was born under the law. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read a lot of the Gospels, go back and read them with the perspective that Jesus is writing and living under the law. Remember when he'd heal someone, he'd tell them, go to the temple and show yourself so that you can fulfill the law. Jesus is still under that law. But then he comes and he fulfills it on the cross and he says, it's done, it's over, it's finished. But if you want another way, there is another way. Go back under the law and try to perform. And let me know how that's working out for you, rich young ruler. Well, I've kept all the commandments. What must I do to have eternal life? I've kept all those. And Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go sell all your money and give it to the poor. And what did he do? He went away very sad. Why? Because he was very wealthy. So God's basically saying, you didn't keep the first commandment. You love money more than you love me. Because if you love me more than your money, you'd throw it all away. You take all your money and put it in a big pile and just set it on fire. There you go, God. But no, you're a slave to your money. You're a master to your money. What are you holding on to, guys? This may be keeping you from just letting it all go. You know, when we let it all go, the freer we become. When we let it all go and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't perform here. And this is what Paul's saying, you know, and Jesus is saying, the law still stands. And you're welcome to try to go up under it and keep it, but no one ever has. But I've got a better thing. I fulfilled it. I went to the cross. I took the wrath that was for you, and I put it upon my son. And what's that funny thing I was talking about? Baptized, when they were baptizing, Bill, they were saying, you know, John came along baptizing, and they say, you know, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when they come to Jesus, they baptize, and they went, okay, now I baptize you in the name of yourself, your daddy, and your best friend. Because what else would they say? It's a joke. So, Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. What man could not do, he did. And his words on the cross, it is finished, means more than just something, well, he was just talking about his life is over. No. It's finished means I came under the law, fulfilled the law. Now, my grace is sufficient for you. Ever going through a problem and that verse pops in your mind? Think about this. My grace is sufficient for you. Well, but God, I need a new... My grace is sufficient for you. But God, I'm in this little problem, right? My grace is sufficient for you. But God, don't you see what's happening down here and all this trouble I'm in? My grace is sufficient for you. Woo! Amen! You can just rest in that. Just rest in it. Amen. And so we see Paul trying to bring the captives out. That's what he's doing. And he says, I faced Peter face to face. I had a face off with Peter. We had a man-to-man talk. Me and old Peter. Because Peter's teaching faith. Because he'd been with Jesus too. But he's being influenced by his religious people. His religious family. And we still got to do that circumcision thing, Peter. Because we got to be a little different from those stinking Gentiles over there. And in fact, we don't even eat with them. Remember that? You remember that, Peter? We don't eat with Gentiles because they're dogs. So we need to have our own little church over here where everybody's circumcised and we don't eat with these people. And Paul says, Peter, you are going the way of Cain. You're going the way of Satan. Shut up and get in line. Come, but you have fallen from grace. What do you think about it? Oh, I've fallen from grace. How do you fall from grace? You go back to doing what you think you should be doing to be religious and to earn your own salvation. That's how you fall from grace. You reject what he did. Whew, I wouldn't want to be that person. Although I've tried to do that many times in my life. It's that pride. It's that pride that we want to do something. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. What else did he do? Yeah, that's it. Now the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. So if you're working, your pay is not a gift, that's something I owe you. If you're working for me, I owe you money. And God is saying, it's a free gift. He's saying, but to the one who does not work, go tell a religious person this. they're going to look at you sideways. Like, well, you don't, well, you mean all that good stuff I've been doing don't count? No. You mean I can be like the thief on the cross? I can just live my life ever how I want and at the last minute say, hey, I believe and go to heaven? Yeah. But I bet you, I will challenge you on this one, that if that thief had met Jesus sooner, he would have lived a different life. Are you with me on that? Had he encountered Jesus sooner, he would have been like Peter and the rest of them and dropped their nets and immediately followed him. Because he would have realized there's nothing no one can give me. There's nothing that anybody can fulfill in me but this man right here. He's what I've been looking for all my life. He's what I've been searching for all my life. This is the guy. Now I'm going to live my life for him. That's living for God. That's realizing whatever I got is nothing. He's got it all. I'm going with him. And he wants to share it with me. He wants to share all his good things with little old me. And I've never done anything to deserve it. Right? Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
But to the one does not work, but believes on him who justifies the who? Ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. His faith is credited for righteousness. So, anybody in here justified? Is anybody in here justified? Yeah. Yeah. Is anybody in here sanctified? That means set apart. Yeah. Is anybody in here righteous? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're righteous. Is anybody in here blameless? It's not a trick question. Yeah, we're blameless. We're blameless. Is anybody in here holy? Yeah, we are. Why? Because he's made us holy. He's made us blameless. He's sanctified us, justified us, washed us in the blood, taken away our sins forever and ever. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Wow, I can just relax now. Thank you, Lord. I can go have a cup of coffee? Yes, I'll have one with you. Chuck, every time you drink that cappuccino, I'm liking that too. Let's go have a cappuccino with Jesus. Amen. His faith is credited for righteousness. So out with the old, in with the new. And I just lost my computer, so I'm going to have to rely on you, Tom. Out with the old, in with the new. Let's go to the next one. Living for God, the fight to stay free. Such is the confidence we have through Christ. Not through any other. We don't have confidence through anybody else. It's through Christ before God. It is not that we are confident in ourselves to claim anything is coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God. He has made us competent to be what? Ministers of the new covenant. Everybody thinking, oh, I'm not a minister. Oh, yes, you are. Bill, every time you have one of those conversations out there with those religious people, you're a minister of the new covenant. Every time, Russell, you tell someone, I ain't got to do what all your church says I got to do, you're a minister of the new covenant. And you're going to get pushback, just like Paul did. They eventually killed Paul. They killed Jesus. We got a pattern going here. If the world could kill you, I promise you they would, guys. If the world could kill you, they would kill you. Why? Because you are a light in the dark world. And the darkness hates what? The light. If the world could get away with it, they would come in here right now and just kill us all. Because we are raining on their parade. We stand for truth, righteousness, justice, and more of the same. And they don't like it. The world likes lies, deception, oppression, deceitfulness, anger, malice, wrath. That's all from the devil. But we are the light of the world. And we walk forward in that with no fear. Don't fear the one who can kill the body. Kill the one who can kill the soul and throw you in hell. Amen. So we are ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter. That's talking about the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. That law will kill you. If you're still under the law, the Bible actually says you're still under a curse. But the Spirit of God will set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. And people always take me wrong. Freedom to do just whatever you want to do, Chuck? Yeah, well, yes. And my question is, what do you want to do? Why do you always got to think about bad things? Freedom to do whatever you want to do. Yeah, go be kind to people. Go love on people. Go feed the homeless. Go tell people about Jesus. You're free to go do that. Oh, but that's not what you're thinking, is it? You're just thinking, I'm preaching, you're free to do whatever sexual sin you want to do or whatever you want to do. No, that's your mind going there. Grace sets you free. And if you want to do, if you want to walk freely in under grace, then you're going to follow the leader. All right, well, God bless everyone. Let's pass out the communion, and we'll have, can we do a song while we're doing the communion?